Tomorrow, I should have a tomorrow. At the end, you mentioned that Buddha, the Buddha who appeared 2,000 years ago, is not the Buddha mentioned in the Bhagavatam.
No.
Could you please explain more about that? Because most devotees have always thought that the other Buddha was the incarnation of the Lord.
Yeah. I think it requires more detailed research, but the Buddha who most people now worship of 2,500 years ago and follow is not Krishna's incarnation. He's a atheist and a human being, and there are different versions. Prabhupada talks about in the Bhagavatam about first or second canto, Buddha flew through the sky and so on, but even that was another Buddha. And the exact chronology may be that incarnation of Krishna appeared even before Krishna. But in any case, my understanding is that that's not the Buddha, and the real Ahimsa Buddha. Buddhist philosophy, although it may also teach Ahimsa philosophy, but it's an imitation. Just like there's the whole Jain religion, and Prabhupada points out that the founder of that Jain religion also imitated Maharaj Vishabhadev, and his practices as they're described, in fact, it's stated in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam states that this is an imposter who came and followed the Avadhuta teachings of Maharaj Vishabhadev. And then there's also similar thing with Kapila. Prabhupada really repeats over and over again, there's a philosopher, atheist philosopher, Kapila, who teaches Tara Sankhya Yoga, but he's again a different person than the incarnation, Lord Kapila. So, and then of course there's in today's day, there's so many incarnations of Lord Chaitanya or Krishna, or and they're all also posing as imposters. So it seems like a standard thing that you get people who actually imitate the incarnations of the Lord. Just like in Bengal, there's a more recent so-called Jagat Bandhu, who they worship as an incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. But of course, it's not mentioned anywhere, and neither approved by the Acharyas. So people do well by imitating a good thing, either in the material or in the spiritual sphere. But whichever Buddha, still Buddhist, what we have to learn from Buddhism is that they're very good at marketing what they do. And they make it very appealing. We need to be able to market Krishna consciousness also to make it appealing to people without necessarily compromising. compromising what it is that we're presenting. Is that okay?
I was also wondering, because most devotees would be under the impression that the Buddha incarnation and would be preaching that as well, would be the one who appeared recently. So I guess, would anything be done about that? I guess after the research that devotees would get to know.
I mean, but what do you have to do about it? It's not a essential feature of our preaching. Which Buddha is Buddha? It's a detail. We don't need to get involved in Buddhism or Buddhist philosophy. And our only main thing about Buddhism is that it teaches ahimsa. So why don't people follow that and follow the principle of ahimsa? And it's a precursor to Mayavad philosophy. I don't think devotees are going around preaching about Buddha or Buddhist philosophy. They're preaching about Krishna. And if Krishna appeared as Buddha, well, that's fine. As to which Buddha, that's really a detail. We don't get into detail about all the different incarnations of Buddha in different ages. But there is a book by Prabhupada's godbrother, Keshav Maharaj, just about that, and he does some chronological research.
Ask you about the fear factor.
About the what?
Fear factor.
The what?
Fear.
What do you mean? Birmingham and Australia don't mix very well.
In Priya Bhagavatamrita, Gopi Purana Dhana Prabhu says a couple of times that when Sukadeva Goswami recited Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit, he took away the fear from the bite of the snake bird. And I was wondering, why would Maharaj Parikshit have that fear? Because he was a Mahabhagavat devotee. So why would that affect him, even though he knew he would be passing away?
Still, he may not be fearful so much for himself, but okay, what about the subjects, and what about what's going to happen to the world, and what about then Kali, and Kali's going to then come into the kingdom, so devotees are concerned. They're not devoid of emotion. But ultimately, Shukadeva Goswami says, what has to happen has to happen. And he can't avoid, even though he may be the king and wants to avoid people getting entangled in the results of Kali's entrance into the world, but it's part of Krishna's plan. You have to let go. So what can you ultimately, you can't just protect everyone and help everyone, and you do your best, and at a certain point it's time to let go, because we're not in control. Time factor is in control, and you can't save anyone from anything. So we're just trying to responsibly, and we think that we're in control, but that's also an illusion, to think that we're in control, whether we can save everyone. Balasnehasya pitaro nishingha. Prabhupada quotes that verse. Someone's meant to die, no doctor can help him, no medicine can help him, nothing. So, Shukadeva Goswami just reaffirmed and made Parikshit Maharaj at peace anyway. You gotta go, you gotta go. You can't be attached. Prabhupada also, although he was quite aware that he wasn't handing over Krishna consciousness movement to a mature caretaking and fully trained, but what can you do? You can only do so much, and ultimately everyone has to go on their own journey and not be too concerned for subjects or family or all these other obligations. When it's time to go, you can't do anything about it. Yes. And that's the reality. So Parikshit Maharaj was also he just let go. The other, either by realization and knowledge, or because we're forced into it, we also have to let go. At a certain stage, you can't do anything for anyone. The only thing you can do is think about Krishna, and which becomes our main business, main responsibility.